Well, Lord, we pray for your blessing on the word tonight, and Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak and we open all our hearts and our ears, our spiritual ears, and me included, Lord, because I know I say sometimes things that I've never heard, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for healing in this room and for restoration and for vision imparted. And Lord, we do pray for an impartation here of righteous thinking from you, Lord. And Lord, I'm just an errand boy, a messenger, a servant. I'm nothing, Lord, except for you, Lord. So it's all you. We like your word. We love your word. And this is the bride of Christ in here, Lord. We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. And so we ask, Lord God, Jesus, you're the bridegroom, so speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to start. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Let's start at the beginning. The first time baseball is mentioned in the Bible is verse 1 in the big inning. Okay, Genesis 1. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And so God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the whole planet, especially the Garden of Eden. He told him to till the ground, and Adam failed on this later. I think he prospered for a long time in it, but when Satan came into the serpent, that he was a creep, and God had given him Adam dominion over every creeping thing. You know what I mean? That's what the Bible says. So he deceived them. Interestingly, it says Eve was deceived and Adam was not. That's important to know, because have you ever heard someone talk about women and men and how they're different? And is it the men who think with half their brain and women who think with their full brain? Men do things with half their brain and women do things with their full brain. Anyway, which makes them both good at different things. Men have this logic ability where women have other abilities. But women are emotional. They're wired emotionally. And so that can be hard when you're trying to make a quick decision. So sometimes men are stronger at that than women, but then women have a lot of strengths too. But anyway, Eve was deceived and Adam was not. So the serpent got it over on Eve, but he did not get it over on Adam, which means Adam was willfully defiant. He knew what he was doing when he did it, and he did it anyway. So the greater sin was on Adam than on Eve, because we're responsible for what we know to do, which is right. And then there's grace for what we have not learned yet in the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. So it was really a greater sin of Adam. He was supposed to block this thing out, and he didn't do it. So man fall, and the dominion was lost. And what happened is the Spirit of God just came off of both of them. And the Bible says in Psalms that God wears glory like a he wears light and glory like a garment. And it says from his waist down, from his waist up is covered in light. That's God. Well, if you go over to Psalm, Book of Psalms, I find this fascinating, this part that I'm about to share. And it does have an application to us right now. Psalm 8, there's an angel talking here, and David records what the angel said at creation. Now, that's a miracle right there. That's called prophetic writing. To know what was said before man existed, or to know what's going to be done in the future, that's prophetic writing. And so David's writing what the angel said, and the angel's watching Adam get created. And he says, and the angel says in verse 4, Psalm 8, verse 4, he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little bit lower than Elohim," or God, "and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have made him to have dominion over your works, the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." And then there's a list of everything under man's feet. And I want you to stop right on verse 5. It says, "You have crowned me," the angel saying, well, first of all, the angel saying, and I'll paraphrase it, he's saying, "What's so good about this human being? I mean, you made us first. We're your angels. Look how wonderful we are. What's so good about this human being?" And you see, first God made his servants. Then God made his son. You know, picture an old 200-year-old mansion, and there's a rich guy in there, and he's got servants' quarters somewhere like several hundred feet away. And the servant steals away at night out of his quarters to peek in the windows of the master's house, you know, the owner's house. And he looks in there, and there's the owner of the whole estate. And he has his little boy, and he's bouncing him on his knee. And that's the heir. That is the child of the owner of that's the child of the guy, the rich man. And the servant's looking through the window and going, "Boy, it sure be nice if I got that kind of treatment, if I was going to get all this." See? And so that's what this angel's talking about, is who's this guy now that you've made after us? We came first. And now who is this that he's so special to you? And God had it in his heart all along. I'm not going to say God was lonely, but because I don't know if God gets lonely, but I'm telling you, he wanted a human being to fellowship with. He still wants that. See? And that's why he made Adam. And then he saw that Adam was alone. Then he made Adam someone. He made him Eve. And so God was wanting someone to fellowship with. And when Adam and Eve sinned and he lost them, because he couldn't be near them anymore. Because I don't know if you know this, but God's presence, well, God the Father, his presence will like incinerate a person if they see him. You know, no man can look at God and live. The Bible says that. And we can look at Jesus. That's another teaching right there. But God the Father, it's like Moses says, "Let me see you." And God says, "You can't see me." Moses says, "Come on, I really want to see you." He says, "Okay, I'm going to hide you in this, it's called the cleft of a rock. I'm going to hide you in this crevice. And I'm going to pass by. And I'm going to hold my hand, as I pass by, I'm going to hold my hand over you so you can't see the front of me. And then when I pass by, I'll move my hand and you'll see my backside." So the most he would do for Moses is let him see his backside. And just the same, just seeing God's backside, when Moses came off the mountain, he was reading the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, and his face was so bright, they said, "We can't look at you, you're too bright." Moses' face was shining so bright. So they put a veil on his face, and he had to read the law with a veiled face. And interestingly, when Jesus took his three disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he got that glistening brightness too of the glory of God. And he was so bright, they could probably barely see him. And this is, you know what? We're going to have that glory manifested in us when we're back in heaven, reunited with the Father. But I submit to you that we have that glory in us right now. Once we receive Jesus Christ, that glory is on the inside of us. And I can show you that in the Bible, that we are full of the glory of God inside of us. And so, anyway, let's look here in verse 5. It says, "For you've made him a little bit lower." Now, some of your Bibles might say angels right there. "For you've made him a little bit lower than the angels." Well, that's the way the King James people in England interpreted it, because they didn't understand the word Elohim. But the word Elohim is very multifaceted, and Elohim is God, but then Elohim can mean smaller gods or like angels too. So what he's saying here is, you made him a little lower than Elohim yourself. That's what the angel's saying. He says, you made him a little bit lower than you, God. And now, because Adam was the master of the whole planet, you know, he named all the animals. All the animals were peaceful. It was a non-carnivorous place. The first meat didn't get eaten until after the flood. That's what the Bible says. It didn't even rain in the garden. It said the mist went up like a vapor and watered the garden. It didn't even rain. It never rained until God was going to bring the flood. It never rained on the earth. And these are all little details you can find in the Bible. And so he says in verse 5, "You have crowned him with glory and honor." So if you look up the word crown, Adam didn't get a literal crown. Rather, him and Eve got a crown of glory. And the Hebrew word there for crown means encircle. So what the angel's saying is, you have encircled this man with glory. And it's like a ribbon that goes down him from the top of his head down to his feet. So he was totally covered in glory, Adam and Eve were. Now, does that sound like something I said earlier? That God is clothed with light from the waist up and the waist down? You see? So not only did God make Adam and Eve, but he clothed them. So the moment they sinned, his glory came off of them. And his presence went away from them. And it says, before man sinned, God walked with him daily in the cool of the garden. That stopped. That never went on again at that time. Okay? And so what happened was, all of a sudden, what do Adam and Eve say? "Lord, we're naked." It's like, all of a sudden, for the first time they looked down, they were naked. Because they're missing their glory suit. They're missing what made them special. They wore the very glory of God. Because you see, the glory that they wore as a garment was really just part of God Himself. Because the glory of God is God's own being and presence. You see? You know, there's places right now on earth where people will worship and praise, and this cloud will start appearing in the room. I can show it to you on YouTube. We have pictures of it on YouTube. I have this one picture, and it's going, this cloud is just coming out of nowhere. It's going like this, and it's just multiplying until the whole room, it's a big warehouse room like this, has got this cloud through it. This is exactly what happened in the Bible. It said the presence of God in the tabernacle got so strong and thick in the room of that the priest of God could not even stand up under the weight of that presence. And they had to fall their flat on the ground. Even when they walked into that tabernacle, they had to tie a rope to their ankle because they could be struck dead if they didn't do something right. That's how powerful God is. And even then, how would you know if they were dead in there or just on their knees praying? Well, they had to wear bells on the end of their robe. So if they walked around there, you could hear them in there. And, you know, if you didn't hear them for several days, you better start pulling them out. You know, that's harsh stuff. But God's glory is very powerful. And Jesus created this package for us from the cross of Calvary where the glory was re-given to us who accept Christ. You know how it says in Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We have a benefits package. And you ever go to work for a corporation? They give you a folder and it's full of your benefits, okay? And it's like, well, God has a benefits package when you receive Christ. And it's immense. And that's in that benefits package is your inheritance in God. It's not in a folder or anything. You know where it is? It's all written in here. And it isn't that you're giving them little by little your benefits. They're all placed in you, kind of dormant. And what makes them explode in you is revelation. You get a revelation. You get an understanding of revelation from God on His Word. Maybe you'll get one in here tonight. Maybe you'll see something in here tonight that'll explode in you. Have you had that happen in here? Yeah, maybe something will explode for you and you'll have it and you'll get it and it'll be yours to keep. See, like the love of God explodes by a revelation to us. And then, see, like 1 Corinthians 13, how it talks about God's love. And they put that, they mount that on the wall under a frame. They put it on the back of wedding bulletins, you know. It's all beautiful, you know. Love never fails. Love is kind. Love does not act prideful, you know. That's all beautiful. But that is only unveiling what was in your benefits the day you received Christ. That's all it is. And when you learn it, remember I told you a story in here about a guy that took a cruise and he saved up for the ticket and he sailed across the Atlantic and he bought the ticket, but then he bought a bunch of crackers. He says, "I'm all out of money. My ticket busted me. So I'm going to go in my cabin, instead of go dine with all those rich people, I'm going to eat crackers all the way across." So it takes 2 weeks to get across. He's emaciated. All he got was crackers for 2 weeks, right? But he's proud of himself. He's resourceful, you know. He had his crackers. And you know what? On his way out, the captain shakes his hand and says, "Thank you for sailing with us. By the way, I never saw you in the dining hall. The whole cruise. Were you feeling okay?" He says, "Oh yeah, I was fine, but I couldn't afford all that food, so I had crackers in my cabin." The captain goes, "Oh no." He says, I'm sorry we didn't tell you, but your ticket paid for all the food every night. You could have eaten till you were stuffed every day in our dining hall." But the guy goes, "Oh man, is it still open? Where's the dining hall?" You know how many Christians live like that? That they do not know the benefits package of Jesus Christ that's been given to them. They don't know that they have power over demons. They don't know that the deliverance from the abuse of alcohol or drugs or any kind of sin is already in you. Did you know that? You don't need some great man of God to come cast the devil out of you. I submit to you that a devil can't come near you when you know Jesus Christ. Yeah, they might speak to you sometimes, okay? But as far as all that possession stuff, it's not likely when you know Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying is that the in you is the power to not drink, to walk perfectly righteous. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures is in 1 John. It says, "Thou which is born of Christ does not sin." Okay? That means the spirit inside of you that received the benefits package inside of you is a human spirit that gets born again. See, when Adam and Eve sinned and they lost the Holy Spirit and they lost that glory, it's kind of like they were born again backwards, right? They went from a three-part being to a two-part being. When you received Christ and He came to live in you, your spirit came alive. Your human spirit came alive. And you went from a two-part being to a three-part being. And you were born again, you see? and you are not born again of the flesh, but of the Spirit. See? And now you have everything you need in you to prosper as a son of God or a daughter of God. And you, all you have to do to activate anything in your benefits package is believe it from your heart and speak it with your mouth. That's the essence of faith. Jesus gave them faith. He told them what faith was in Mark 11. Did anyone ever read that? I'm going to turn there. This indeed, Jesus. See, remember when Jesus and his disciples were walking along one day, and there's a fig tree, and he said, "Oh, I'm hungry," and he goes up to this fig tree, and there's no fruit on it. So Jesus said, "May no man ever eat fruit from you again." He spoke right to the tree. Now, somebody would have thought that was lunacy to talk to a tree, but nowadays we talk to plants, right? And Jesus, I talk to my lawnmower when it won't start. And oftentimes it starts after I talk to it. See? It's like, yeah, outside the box here. So they're walking the... Huh? I'm not getting give it out yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because the moment I give you a verse, people start reading it while I'm still trying to make a point. So anyway... Jesus curses this fig tree, and the next day, him and the disciples are walking past, and this fig tree is all withered away to the nub. And Peter, or one of the disciples, goes, "Master, look at the tree that you cursed. There's nothing left of it." And that's where we cut in right now in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now he's going to tell you how to have faith in God. This is how you have faith in God. Jesus says, if you want my results, you'll do this. And he says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Did everybody in the Bible do that? Yes. Anyone that got results always did that. Joshua said, "Sun, stand still." And the sun didn't move in the sky for a full day. That's hard to believe, isn't it? But it's not hard to believe with an omnipotent God backing you. So, what about David when he killed Goliath? This day, Goliath says, "What are you sending?" He says, "What am I, a dog? What are you sending a boy out to meet me?" And David says, "This day, I will cut off your head and feed your body to the birds." I'm kind of paraphrasing. And that's exactly what he did. Did he fulfill Jesus' formula for faith? Yes, he did. He spoke it with his mouth, and he believed it with his heart. And the Holy Spirit brought to pass exactly with that sling, exactly what David wanted to do. The power of God, the Holy Spirit. Did you know that David picked up 4 more stones than that first stone he threw at Goliath? Did you know he picked up 5 stones? Did you know that Goliath had 4 sons that were just as tall as him? I submit to you that when David walked out on the battlefield that day, he didn't see one giant, he saw 5. They were just staying back a little. Because if you go read the book of Samuel, later on, David's mighty men killed the other 4 sons. And so I submit to you that David picked up 5 stones and he was being totally efficient. "I won't need 6. That's how much faith David had. He had already told the king, "Listen, I killed the lion and I killed the bear, and that's what I'll do to this giant." See, does he sound like a man of faith? And you know how he killed the lion? He says, "I grabbed its beard and I hit it. I smote it." So he just grabbed that lion's beard and then he went, "Pow!" So what has he got? He, like, for a split second, he had the strength of Samson in him, you know? And that's what faith will do. And so, anyway, David used his faith and he spoke it out. And so what I'm telling you is, when you start getting faith and you start believing, then you can have whatsoever you say. And this isn't for saying, I'm going to have a Mercedes Benz. That isn't what it is. God won't back you on that. It will back you to do the will of God. It'll back you to do things that are close to God's heart. Well, you know what? God wants you more free of drugs and alcohol and sin than you want it for yourself. So the day you believe and say it out that I am free and believe it, it will activate for you and you'll be free. Why aren't we delivered when we get by ourselves and no one's watching? Why aren't we delivered? I'll tell you why. There's doubt and unbelief there, and you don't believe it. You don't believe you're delivered. You just don't believe it. Your next action is going to dictate what you believe. You see what I mean? And so I say, believe God. He said, that which is born of God. So you see, praise God for AA. But I don't teach it at all. Because I'm talking about our higher power here. Great. I'm in agreement with AA. But I'm just going right, cutting to the chase. Let's go. I'm going right to Jesus Christ. So this Bible study is about Jesus Christ. It's about the Bible. It's about the Word of God. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the Creator of the universe. That's what I deal with. And what I'm saying to you is, that which is born of God does not sin. Now listen to this very closely. This is very interesting. That means the day you receive Christ, you have not sinned since that day inside in your spirit. If you have, then God's a liar. But you sin with your mind and your body. See, you're a three-part being. You're a spirit, you are soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you have a body. So we sin with our flesh, our body. Your mind and your body is your flesh. And that's our struggle.